Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
With me in the studio today is Pacific Media Centre Director, Professor David Robey, on assignment at AUT South for the visit of the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. This week is a big one for in the Asia Pacific region with elections and leadership tussles in Australia, New Caledonia, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea and the Philippines. So a lot going on, isn't it, David?
Incredibly busy week, I think.
Yeah, I can imagine. Full on. So let's start with the Philippines. It's a big day there with the midterm elections happening today. What's at stake?
Well, we've got about 61 million people are supposed to be going to the polls today, and you know, for the time differences sort of haven't got underway as yet, but it's about 18,000 different positions, national and local and so on, that are at stake. And in some places there's not even any real choice, because there's about almost 550 candidates are unopposed. All they need to get is one vote, and they're in, you know. But this is, you know, politics in the Philippines have been dominated by sort of dynasty families and warlords, etc., you know, for many, many years now. So basically these elections are crossroads, really, because, you know, analysts are sort of asking, is this going to be the time when President Rodrigo Duterte and his family, you know, not just him, his whole family, you know, are going to consolidate their position and that sort of thing? Or are people going to vote for some kind of return to honest government and away from the corruption?
How likely do you think that is, turning away from corruption and moving towards a more honest government?
Well, I think it's pretty dismal, actually. Yep. Yeah, from all the sort of predictions, they're pretty dire.
Not looking very hopeful.
Why is that? Are there any particular factors which would prevent a turn away from that?
Well, essentially, I mean, Duterte is incredibly popular, which is, I mean, from the outside. He's a bit like Trump, you know. He's the sort of Southeast Asian equivalent to Trump. And people see him as, you know, cleaning up drugs, you know, the war on drugs, even though 12,000 people have, you know, died. Many of those are extrajudicial killings, but somehow people think, well, you know,
justify
he's
it because
the situation. And of course, most of those people, there's no process or anything like that. They're just accused or suspected, even. People just think he's been doing good things, but a lot of it, you know, his popularity has been waning somewhat, because he's been seen to be rather weak in relation to China, in China with the Spratly Islands, you know, and so on, the disputes going on there. But also they see him as actually allowing China to come into the Philippines, a lot of underhand investments and so on that are becoming too sort of reaching far too much into the country. And then there's another issue too, which is about federalism, and he wants to push a federal system into the Philippines, and a lot of people don't
people
want that.
Aren't happy so about that. Yeah,
they're pretty, right. Pretty up and you know, getting annoyed about that and so on. So it's pretty
very interesting.
Yeah.
Let's move on to New Caledonia. So yesterday there were the provincial elections in New Caledonia that came on hard on the heels of the independence referendum. What happened there?
Well, it's once again, it's interesting there too. But you know, New Caledonia has a Congress of 54 seats, and it's made up of the Northern Province and the Loyalty Islands, and the Southern Province. And most of the white population live in the Southern Province. So there hasn't been much of a change in the North and the Loyalty Islands, where the pro-independence parties have basically cleaned everything up. But in the Southern Province, where the pro-French people mostly live, they've still maintained a slight majority overall, 28 seats as opposed to the pro-independence parties of 26 seats. But what has actually happened is the traditional anti-independence party has lost its ground. It's actually got heavily defeated, and a new party has only just been going for about 3 months, which is called a sort of the Future with Confidence, have come in, because they're seen by many of the people who support French rule continuing. They thought that this new party might actually shore up their sort of situation. And the other thing is, there's a party just been formed for the Wallisians, who are Polynesian, as opposed to Kanak, who are Melanesian, and so on. And so they've got three seats, this is how it's projected at the moment, they've got three seats in that anti-independence bloc. So it's still all up in the air, because after the referendum last November,
yes,
where the anti-independence group did really, really, really well, and they're heading for the 2020 next referendum. So
yes,
it's still polarised.
So Indonesia had an election just last month, but there are still disputes over the result. What is the scenario there?
Well, I mean, like President Joko Widodo, was known as Jokowi and so on, the exit polls showed that he had won the elections, but the official results don't actually come out till next week, May the 22nd. And the main opponent, who's a former general and someone with a major, human rights sort of cloud over his head, in East Timor and so on, many other places, he was known as a torturer, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he's refusing to accept that he's lost the election. And he said, there's a lot of cheating going on. We want the sort of electoral commission, when it comes out with its report next week, to take on board our allegations of the cheating and so on, and call a new election or whatever they want to have. But he's saying that if he doesn't get that, well, he's going to have people power and he's going to have people out in the streets and so on. And then the defence minister is saying, no, we can't have this. This is treasonous.
Yeah, so he's just sort of expecting that he can just stay in the role. Is that sort of what he's hoping to do? And sort of, I don't know, blame it on the other team for there being, the other group for there being cheating, right? So the options are to have a re-election, or is it that he just stays there?
I don't think anybody sees that as a serious option. He's just refusing to accept reality.
I have to push him out.
but he's the one that hasn't actually sort of achieved the results.
Yeah.
So Jokowi is sitting pretty, I think, really.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And so the leadership crisis in Papua New Guinea is still unresolved, yet there was supposed to be a no-confidence vote in Parliament last week. What happened there?
Well, I mean, Prime Minister Peter O'Neill, he's a very wily customer, really. He's manipulated the system for many years, and so basically got the Speaker to, they just recalled Parliament on last Tuesday morning, and they had a bit of discussion, and before they even really got on to the no-confidence vote and that sort of thing, the Speaker said, we're going to postpone Parliament. So Parliament's off. 28th of May is when we're going to sit
get
again.
Back into it.
and this means that O'Neill's got more time, because his ruling People's National Congress, lost a lot of ministers and members who had defected to the opposition. And O'Neill, frankly, although he put a good front on it, said, I've got the numbers, he wasn't sure that he was going to get the numbers. So now he can have inducements and get people to come back again to join his party. So it's very interesting. The main contender is James Imarape, is the alternative prime minister, and he was finance minister under O'Neill, but started the whole train of resignations and that sort of thing. And he's now joined the Pangu Party, which is Sir Michael Somare's original party at independence. So interesting times.
Yes. Lachlan.
So how likely do you think it will be that he'll survive a no-confidence vote come the end of May?
He's a great survivor, and he's been in power since 2011. I don't think the opposition's just kind of quite out with him,
Not quite there yet.
But hopefully, because it really, there does need to be a change in Papua New Guinea, and that's the opposition is reflecting.
Making their moves towards it. And the polls are showing a very light race for the Australian federal election next Saturday. What is likely to happen with our neighbouring country?
Well, it's a very tight race, but all the opinion polls at the moment, even though the Liberal-led coalition, the ruling one, has been closing the gap on Labor, When you look at two-party preferential voting, as that's a complicated system in Australia, it looks like Labor's still basically well ahead. And Bill Shorten has closed the gap on the personal stakes as well. But I guess one of the big questions for us, and certainly on Pacific Media Watch and the Pacific Media Centre, is what will happen if the change of government happens?
How will that affect
policy that's happened in the Pacific, that sort of thing? And that's looking pretty good. So if there is a change of government, for example, climate change is going to be a dramatic change in Australia. It's been the major problem for the whole of the Pacific, in that sense. Penny Wong, who's the shadow foreign minister for Labor, she's indicated that not only the climate change and issues like that, aid, they have a lot more progressive aid policy, but also broadcasting, public broadcasting. In the years under the coalition, the ABC has lost its way, and it's, frequencies have ended up owned by China. Radio Australia sort of been cut right back. It's a major sort of problems for broadcasting in the region, which has been good for Radio New Zealand because they've already built up. What Penny Wong's saying is that we want, Bill Shorten said this, that we want the ABC to be heard everywhere and seen everywhere in the region. So they're going to boost, public broadcasting in a big way. So that's a good thing for us.
Yeah, that's great that the Pacific, absolutely. So what's around the corner for Pacific Media Watch? What sort of stuff are you guys working on for the next week?
Well, you can see we've got a lot of stuff spilling out this week.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep up with, I can imagine.
And I'm looking forward to Michael's story. He'll be filing this afternoon on the UN Secretary General's talks here and that sort of thing, because we had him down here at the AUT South Campus and that sort of thing. So it'll be an interesting week.
Oh, fantastic. So if anyone listening would like to read all about the Pacific Media Centre updates, you can head over to asiapacificreport.nz. Thank you so much, David.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was the Southern Cross.